It's time for In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. Got a question? Call us at 749-B105.
Good morning and welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guy. It's going to be a great day to get some stuff done in and or around your house. We've got a lot going on today, a lot of ground to cover, and here we are, the first weekend of November. We've been telling you for a couple of weeks now to be prepared for this one because it won't be long that we could be seeing some of that frosty weather and get your plants inside. Good morning, Tony.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Ernie. Yeah, go ahead. The frosty weather.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, we've been spared thus far. It seems as if,
yes.
You know, the weather's been on the mild side, obviously, for the most part. But it typically, by this time of year, we've already seen a frost.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what was last night? Upper 30s?
About 30, well, it's 37 right now. So, yes, upper 30s would be correct.
But and next week's temperatures are looking relatively mild, 60s, and we'll be running in the 40s at night.
I can give you a little Al sleet.
You know, throw a little sleet on me right now, then we'll take it from there, Al.
Going to be sunny today. Temperatures are going to climb up close to around 65 today and 66 for tomorrow. Clear skies both today, tonight and tomorrow night. Some clouds moving in for Monday, which will cause it to be a little bit warmer with temperatures up to the 70s or up close to 70. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then back to the mid-60s on Wednesday. Still lots of sunshine, no precipitation in the forecast, but overnight lows will consistently be in the low to mid-40s, except for tonight, because we have clear skies, going to be back down to the upper 30s.
There you go.
And some beautiful things going on. I saw yesterday online where there is the super moon that's going to be making an appearance, going to be the largest in 70 years.
Now, which is that the full moon on the 14th? Is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah, that's the one that's going to be the super moon.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up because a great customer of ours at Jackson Florist and Garden Center, Patty Medley, we had an interesting conversation. It was back in early October.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, I don't know how we got onto the Farmer's Almanac. And we were talking about the frost and so forth, the average, you know, first fall frost date, which is usually around the third week of October, typically,
uh-huh,
just on average. And we were discussing this, and she had gone on to tell me that, according to her sources close by, that we weren't to see a frost until the first full moon in November, which,
wow,
is the super moon,
mm-hmm,
that you're talking about. Now, having said that, the temperatures are, I mean, everything's looking favorable from that standpoint. So I can't wait to run into her the next time because I think this is going to get really, really close. But next Saturday, it looks as if we're going to be in the low 30s.
Right.
And when you're in the low 30s, guess what?
Chicken butt.
Potential frost.
Yes.
Especially if it's clear out. Now, this is very interesting. And so I can't wait to run into Patty again and just discuss this. But she's awfully close if it doesn't occur.
Yes, be right in that area, I'm certain. It'll be,
so, tell me a little bit about the super moon. You know anything about it? What can you tell us?
It's super.
It's super.
It'll appear closer, larger than any other moon in the last 70 years, is what the article said. Then we have two meteor showers as well. Sometimes it's referred to as a harvest moon or a hunter's moon. I think it's
right. I've heard harvest moon.
Yeah. And then the two meteor showers are supposed to be spectacular as well. I hope they don't occur during cloudy nights. But the good news is with all the technology we have, you, mm-hmm, can watch them over and over again, mm-hmm, the next day, whether you see them or not live.
Awesome. And, you know, we've been really blessed with some decent weather. We have. I wish we would get a little bit more rain than what we've had. So, you know, it's been a little spotty. But what's important about making sure that, you know, talking about rain, is that we need to make sure that our shrubs and trees and perennials have been watered in well this fall season before we go into the winter months. So important, especially if you have evergreens such as boxwoods, junipers, arborvitae. It's important that our evergreens, you know, our azaleas, our rhododendrons, go into the winter months with adequate moisture, because they lose a lot of moisture because of the winter winds during that time of year. And that's when you get out of the late winter months, go into the spring months, and you start seeing, you know, some winter damage on our shrubs. Mm-hmm. So make sure that we go into these months with adequate moisture if we're not getting it.
You know, we have a couple of guests. Karen Sachstetter will be in a little later on
today.
Got a couple of big events, and we also want to touch base, too. You brought this up last week, but today's a great day to clean out your shed, your garage, any of those places where you might have hazardous waste material stashed around the house. You can dispose of it safely and not have to worry about it getting into the environment. So tell us again about that.
Well, that's taking place out at the Florence Freedom Ballpark, and I don't have that information in front of me. We'll get it reposted again back on our Facebook page. But if you have a lot of things like television sets, batteries, paint, old stuff lying around the house as such, today's a great opportunity, and it's an event that's not going to cost you anything to take these items out to the Florence Freedom Ballpark and dispose of them properly. So it's just being good stewards of the earth and keeping from putting those things back into the landfills, or where some people, we were talking about this last week, I know some guys that just take motor oil and start pouring it along the fence line or back behind the shed, and don't do that.
Yeah, that's old school.
That's old ignorance. School. Yeah, that's not good.
No.
And there was one of our listeners had also brought this up, which I really wasn't aware of, and definitely glad that they posted this on our Facebook page. I didn't know that AutoZone, if you were to change the oil in your car or whatever, any piece of equipment, they'll take that oil back, the old oil. So also keep that in mind as well. That's important.
Very good information. We're also going to check in with Jerry, our friend from Watson's. Some great ideas about bringing them into, or bringing all the activities into the house, especially now that it's a little cool outside. You're looking for some way to entertain all your house guests and your family members during the holiday parties. We're going to talk a little bit about pool tables.
Oh, there you go.
Didn't know that pool tables, Brunswick pool tables, started right here in Cincinnati, 1845, I think. And shuffleboards, too, are making a dramatic comeback.
Are they like this old, looks like the old gym floor shuffleboard?
Yep.
Yes. And what would you put on that? Cornmeal? Is there something?
I think it's like a ground up sawdust.
Is it sawdust? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I said cornmeal, but I'm thinking when I'm putting things on the pizza stone, it slides better. But it might be a sawdust. I'm not really sure.
I was thinking about muffins when you said cornmeal and some old fashioned cornbread.
Sure.
I'm always thinking about food. Plus, we're also going to introduce another little segment later on today, Around the Table.
Around the Table. We always like
you
the belly.
You and I spend a lot of time around the table.
Yes, we like the belly up to the table, that's for sure.
In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It is the first weekend of November and another time for time change.
Hey, time change is right.
Tonight. Fall over and turn the clocks back. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what that means. It means fall back.
Fall back is right.
You know, back in the day, they don't let you do it anymore, but back in the day when you were out at your favorite watering hole.
Mm-hmm.
At 2 o'clock.
I'll give you an extra time at the bar.
They would turn the clock back. And there wasn't anything wrong with it or illegal at that time. You know, I'm talking back when I used to run around like that. And then you would party for another hour before they closed the bars again. Those were the good old days, but
yes,
they don't do that anymore.
No.
So this Sunday morning, we turn the clocks back for daylight savings time.
Well, do it before Sunday morning.
Yes.
Especially if you have to work Sunday, you don't want to show up an hour early.
before you go to bed, turn your clocks back, especially on your alarm clock. You don't want that going off if you have to get up early.
Hey, John, you working Sunday morning?
No,
I was going to say, don't turn them back. You'll be early.
But the funniest post I saw about this came from an old friend of mine who's down in Nashville now, and he goes, sad face. I just realized that we turn the clocks back on Sunday. That means we have to suffer through another hour of political advertisements before the election.
I didn't think of that, but that's so true. Yeah, wow.
So he hit the head Hit the nail right on the head there.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, while we're talking about, you know, falling back and turning the clock back an hour, also we need to take a moment and change the batteries in our smoke detectors. And test those, make sure that they're working properly. And also, you know, any batteries in carbon monoxide detectors. Last week we were talking with our good friends from Arlinghouse Heating and Air, and that is something that they brought up that's so important, and a lot of people do not do this. But you definitely want to be safe and practice those safe measures in the home. And if there's little ones around, most especially. So this is the time to do all this. Dryer vents, that's another one.
Yes, it's a perfect time to clean those out. And we see this quite often, especially this time of year when people start closing up their house. There's not any fresh air, and that dries things out. So you don't want to put an opportunity or you don't want to have an opportunity where that might spark something.
Right. No, that's exactly right. You know, when I just remember I had that little dryer issue.
Yes.
This was a couple months ago. So I ended up buying a new dryer. So when I did all that, I just ran new dryer vents and all that stuff and just started fresh. But you got to be really careful with the ones that are flexible. You know which ones I'm talking about? You can buy that plastic flexible. Good shot there, by the way.
Yeah.
That's how you played basketball. That's why you didn't play basketball, I should say. But just make sure that the dryer vents are clean. That's so important because a lot of lint will build up. I mean, you know what that's like when you change the lint screen or when you pull that out and clean it out in your dryer. It's amazing how much of that stuff will build up off of our clothing.
Mm, yep.
So,
we're speaking of Arlinghouse. We are going to revisit our conversation with them. It was very important and valuable information. So we're going to revisit that conversation coming up in just a little bit. But there's a lot of places in your house you need to update and check.
And something else, too, I want to point out is this is so important, and a lot of us do not think about this, our fire extinguishers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, make sure that they are properly charged, that the needle's in the green zone. Take a moment and look at that, and if you have some stuff that's outdated, maybe have it checked or, you know, seek a professional, take it to a firehouse and say, hey, is this adequate? Is this good to use, or should I need, you know, do I need to replace it? And keep a fire extinguisher in your garage, your basement. That's where a lot of mechanical things are. Under your kitchen sink, you know, your cooking. And I'm not encouraging anybody to be Fireman Bill and put out anything that's blazing. But if you can, you know, reduce the potential risk of a major catastrophe or a fire, you can certainly do that.
So,
very important. Check those out. Do you know what type of fire extinguisher you might want to purchase as a homeowner if you don't have one?
A good one.
Gosh, Ernie. Yeah, I have to get up early to pull one on you, don't I? ABC. ABC.
And I guess it's the, are they all powder now or chemical-based?
I don't know, but you want an ABC, which will put out wood products, paper products, electrical, and flammable materials. Like liquids. So ABC, that's really important.
So check your batteries in your smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, change the filters in your furnace, check your fire extinguishers, and
clean your dryer vents.
And clean your dryer vents.
So all these, do these things today, this weekend. It'd be a great weekend to do that.
Right.
Take some time out to make sure everything's in check.
And, you know, last week, I'm going to ask you to revisit this, too. You said something that caught my ear that we might not see that wonderful color change in some of our trees. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about how some of the trees will drop leaves early to protect themselves. And if I got this correctly, the conifers can't?
Well, conifers will shed their
needles.
Inside.
Right.
And a lot of people have probably already noticed a lot of that with their white pines especially. So that's pretty typical. However, you know, a conifer that's, you know, an evergreen that in relation to a deciduous tree or a shrub, they behave a little differently. And when plants get stressed out, be it a conifer or a deciduous shrub or tree, they, you know, what's important is that keeping moisture throughout the course of the season, if we get, you know, into those dry spells, trees will kind of, they have a canny ability to lose their foliage if necessary to, keep themselves going and alive, whereas conifers struggle sometimes. So that's why, you know, moisture is very, very important. and even more so going into the winter months with conifers especially. But I think because we had a, you know, a couple dry spells there, and with the high humidity levels and so forth, yeah, we're not seeing the burst of color. You're seeing some, but not typically, in my opinion,
right,
what we're accustomed to seeing. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the environment, how much rain we've been getting, what were the temperatures like, how stressful were some of our trees and shrubs. And again, a lot of times when things get dry and stressful, trees and shrubs, and their deciduous varieties, when I say that, meaning they'll lose their leaves, they'll just brown up and drop foliage. You know, they'll drop their leaves,
sure,
in order to sustain themselves.
Uh-huh.
So I think we've seen a little bit of that. And as you look up on the hillsides as well, in addition to that, you know, we've lost a great deal of ash trees over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, just that color's just not out there. I'm not really seeing it, only in spots.
Gotcha.
You know, speaking of, too, color, we had an interesting question on Facebook, I think it was last week one day, about burning bushes. You know,
yeah,
the question was, how come mine's not really turning red? And a lot of times that has to do with sun and combination of moisture as well throughout the growing season, but mostly sun. And if you're getting at least 6 hours or more sun a day on your burning bushes, you should be seeing some very nice color. And most of those that you see that give you that burst of red as we get deeper into the fall season, most of those, if you pay attention, are receiving more sun than those that aren't giving us that red color, which,
right,
they're getting a little bit more shade.
Yeah, I noticed that the one in the back of our house is really changing colors, but it, mm-hmm, gets an awful lot of sun, and that's great information there.
Boy, color, I tell you, the other day I was just looking out in my backyard, and I have a couple fathergilla shrubs,
uh-huh,
and called, this one's a dwarf variety called Gardenii. Oh, it's just, it's a stunning, it's got these yellows and reds and orange combination colors in the foliage, and it's stunning. I just love that shrub. And there's another one called Mount Airy, hence the name. It was developed here and found it in the Mount Airy Forest. So, you know, look for those shrubs at your garden centers. If you're into fall color, that's one that's definitely worth looking for.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to check in with our old friend Jerry over at Watson's about some pool tables and some ideas that you may want to consider when you're getting ready to start those holiday parties. We'll pause. We'll be right back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've got our friend Jerry from Watson's on the line again. And beautiful fall weather, Jerry. A lot of people are thinking about, you know, all the activities are going to be moving inside now. And what a great way to spend time with your friends and family and around a brand new pool table.
Absolutely.
How long has Cincinnati been involved in pool tables, and where did that all come from?
Well, Brunswick, it started right here in Cincinnati, Ernie.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in 1845, a gentleman by the name of John Moses Brunswick, and he made carriages. Then he saw a pool table, and he thought, oh, I can build these things. And so he started building it for all the meat packers. You know, back in those times, Cincinnati was just a big hub. A meat packer.
Porkopolis and all that.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, that company grew and grew. They're still well known in billiards. Some of their famous owners are Abraham Lincoln, James Dean, Lou Gehrig. There's still billiard tables from the 1800s made by Brunswick that are there and playable. That we're one of their largest dealers.
The meat packers, I guess, are the guys who are really successful businessmen, and then they needed to have or wanted to have something really excellent quality, craftsmanship, the whole nine yards, and that's what the pool table is for you guys, right?
It sure is, and I'll tell you, it's a game of precision.
Is it really? Yeah, that's probably why I'm not very good at it yet.
Well, just think about it. I mean, that ball has to roll clear across that table and, mm-hmm, run perfectly straight, and they're heavy. The slate that's in those things weighs over 600 pounds.
Wow.
That table isn't heavy enough to support it, it's not going to play right. And we got these installers, we've had them over 15 years. These guys are the best at it.
You know, and that's an important part of the game, because there's a part in that game where you have to obviously figure angles, striking the ball, speed of the ball, and if the table's not set up right to begin with, the game's never right.
That's absolutely right. Got to move the same every time.
And so if it started in the 1800s, what are styles changing like these days?
Oh, they are just, it's amazing. These are not your grandfather's tables anymore.
Oh.
Our best manufacturer is Plank and Hyde, and they've got all the up-to-date contemporary rustic styles. They've got an industrial style that looks fantastic. You know, pool table is a piece of furniture in your house, and it should look good. They even offer matching shuffleboard tables to it.
You know, I was going to ask you about that, because the shuffleboard's an interesting animal in itself, is it?
It sure is.
Tell me about the shuffleboard tables.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, our sales double every year in shuffleboard tables. They are coming back strong. They started in the 1500s.
Wow.
People would slide coins down long tables. And then when it got over here, it was popular. Listen to this. Jim Corbett, you've heard of him. He was that boxer back in the early 1900s. He had a local tavern owner install one of those in his pub. It takes a lot of skill for it that way. Back in the 40s, everybody was putting these in their houses. People like Betty Grable, Harry James, Merv Griffin, Alan Ladd, they all had their own shuffleboard tables. And what's great about it is everybody can play it. You don't have to be a skilled player like in pool.
Mm-hmm.
You can just hop in there fresh and do it.
I'll learn the game. And I guess it's age appropriate too, because if you can reach the table, you're eligible to play.
That's exactly right. You know? That's exactly
right. And another one of those great things that you can have in the home and draw the family together and get them away from all of the electronic games and distractions of the day and carry on conversations around tables.
Absolutely.
Now,
Absolutely.
Is it a game of precision as well, shuffleboard?
It sure is. They have adjusters built underneath these long boards. You know, these boards typically are 12 to 14 feet long,
mm-hmm.
18 to 20 inches wide, and you've got to be able to adjust those boards to make sure that slides evenly all the way down the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Ernie, right now is our best sale of the year going on these things, on both our pool tables and our shuffleboard. And, I mean, these values are great.
Well, give me some contact information for our listeners, because now as people are thinking about all the activities are coming inside, the holidays are on us, and they want to get this done. Can you make the purchase and get it set up for the holidays?
Absolutely. We've got these in stock and ready to go.
Awesome. Give us your website and address and phone number.
Okay, well, it's watsons.com. It's 513-326-1100. And we're right over here on Sharon Road, right where Mosteller runs, dead ends right into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 2721 East Sharon Road.
Fantastic. Gary, always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Ernie.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. You take care.
We are excited about the guys from Arling House coming in and talking a little bit about it. It's one of those things where you have to be ready. We try to give you a little warning and a little heads up every time the season rolls over, and we don't want you to get caught. One of those things where a lot of people be having house parties, guests, and all that stuff, and nothing worse than having your furnace go out when you've got all those people in your house. So we'll talk a little bit about that, a little bit about maintenance, and we have Brian Ryan from Arling House. I always love having these guys in, a wealth of information, a couple of things to make sure that you're aware of to make your winter much more enjoyable and less costly. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Well, welcome to the show. And again, it's a part of the season where a lot of people are making the transition from air conditioning. They probably enjoyed a couple of days without anything running, but now they've got to, of course, get ready for winter.
A lot of people just go from heat to cool and then cool to heat.
Flip the switch and let her go.
Yep.
What about winterizing air conditioners? I guess if they're still running, you can't do that right now.
No. Not really a whole lot. You know, with the outdoor unit, it is made to be outside. We get that question quite a bit.
Yeah.
Do I need to cover the outdoor unit? Like I said, it's made to be out there. If you do put a cover on it, those covers will actually trap moisture and promote rust.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Brian and Ryan from Arling House. Before we get any farther, let's get some contact information, website address, and everything so everyone can follow along.
Yeah, our main phone number is 859-727-9000, or you can always get us on the web at arlinghouseair.com.
Fantastic. And a couple of things we're going to be talking about. As a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and jump into it. A lot of people button up their houses for the fall season or winter and are concerned about humidity. How can they tell if they need a humidifier?
That's a great question. So for the wintertime, you know, you're buttoning everything up, right? you're kind of trapping that heat inside. And as far as humidity goes, as it gets colder, the air can't hold as much moisture, and so the air in your home becomes drier.
Mm-hmm.
And the average home loses about 10,000 pounds in moisture from summer months to winter months. So we get all that moisture that leaves the house. Then you might get some hardwood flooring that'll crack and creak. So you get that separation in your hardwood. You may see that in antiques as well. If you've got some grandma's antiques, the piano or something like that laying around.
Yeah.
Humidity is important for that. We've got customers that have nice guitars, and so humidity is really important to them too.
Sure.
Static electricity is another big identifier.
I was going to ask you about that because inevitably you'll walk across the room and go to touch or shake somebody's hand or something, and there's that spark. Or you touch something inside the house and you get juiced.
That was the big thing for my house when I first moved in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just hated that I couldn't put on a pair of sweatpants.
Yeah.
And then I go to pet the dog and he takes off running because I zapped him.
That's good. I like that.
So what can we do about that? You were going to give some advice about the static electricity.
Absolutely. You know, a whole home humidifier, bringing that moisture level up in the home to a rating that's it's supposed to be at. So between 30 and 45% is the most optimum setting on your humidifier. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, bringing that up is going to take away that static electricity. It'll reduce the amount of cracking and creaking in the hardwood. Mm-hmm. You know, save grandma's antique table or china cabinet or whatever she passed down to you. All things that can help your house out and also help you out as well. So, mm-hmm. Something that humidifiers do greatly for you is your upper respiratory system. So, you know, something kind of gross on that topic would be your nasal cavity. So as it dries out in the wintertime, your nose dries out and then you breathe in bacteria and viruses and that's how you get a cold, right? And then your nose becomes runny again because your body is trying to, you know, fight that and keep it from getting back down into your stomach and into your bloodstream. And so that's how you're getting sick in the wintertime.
Oh.
So adding a humidifier is good for your upper respiratory system. It keeps your nasal passage moist like it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then any bacteria that enters into your nasal passage, then, you know, it goes into your mucus and then goes down into your stomach acid and we get rid of that stuff. So and that will prevent you from, you know, going to Kroger's or whatever,
right,
to load up on the NyQuil. So.
Yeah, and there's nothing worse than being that uncomfortable with dry nasal passages and uncomfortable sore throat, breathing. Yep. A lot of that has to do with that.
Itchy skin.
You know, yeah.
You know, all of that.
Yeah. Itchy skin. Yeah.
All ailments. Yeah. You see the dog scratching. I mean, they're in your house more than you are,
right?
Probably.
Right.
And so you see the dog scratching quite a bit, you know. He can get dry skin too.
That's exactly right.
So the setting is 30 to 45. Is that right?
That's the most optimum set point. You know, as the temperature outside changes, you know, you can make those adjustments at the humidistat. So if it gets really, really cold, you know, I got real busy two winters ago and I left my humidifier set on 45%. It was when we got down into the negative temperatures and I come home from a 14-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
And I come home to about 12 inches of ice on my sliding glass door and all of my windows,
yeah,
right? So if we leave it set too high when it gets really, really cold outside, then we can risk, you know, windows freezing and things
like that. I didn't have that kind of ice, but I saw moisture on the window.
So,
and it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly, just as you stated. So as the temperature goes down, you take the humidity level down?
You do turn the humidity level down.
Is there a range? Say the temperature is at 10.
So there's a couple different ways you can figure out where I need it set, mm-hmm, right? On the humidistat itself, it actually gives you a reference point. If it's this temperature outside, this is what you need to have it set to.
Mm-hmm.
So I just upgraded my thermostat to a new Wi-Fi thermostat. You know, we guys always talk about the Wi-Fi thermostat.
Yeah.
And now it controls my humidifier automatically, so it knows what temperature it is outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes the adjustment for me, so it's kind of, you know, hands off. Even though I know what I'm doing and I know when I need to set it, it's so much easier just to let the thermostat do it. So,
sure. And you have the convenience of that control on your smart boom. I remember when you were here a couple of times ago, you were talking about how now today's technology, you can control all that from your smartphone. 749-B105, in and around the house. We have Brian and Ryan from Arling House with us. We need to pause for a minute. When we come back, we want to ask you about the results of the air quality you took in our studio here last time you were here. And we're going to cover a couple of other things about dust and basement smells. All the information available at Arling House, and jump on our Facebook page, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Brian and Ryan from Arling House in with us this morning, and another wealth of information. We talked a little bit about humidity and a couple of things that last time Ryan was here, he brought in a device to do a air filter or air quality examination. How did we test out? Remember?
Not too bad. So we've had this device now going on, I would say, 3 to 6 months. Uh-huh. And, we've got one of them in the hands of one of our lead specialists. So he's running this report and collecting information and making recommendations. And then as people call in and ask about it and have concerns, it's something we can run as well. So it's called the Air Advice, and it is going to pick up a couple different things in your house that you can't see. So the particulate count, chemicals that are in the house and in the air, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, mm-hmm. Temperature, and relative humidity. So those are the things that it tests for. The most common thing that we find, especially in a studio like this or a meeting room, office spaces, and also in just really well-insulated and tight houses, is high carbon dioxide. So, as human beings, we take in oxygen and we reject carbon dioxide. So
it would be high today. Ernie had
it. He's over there huffing and puffing, wasn't he?
Man.
So carbon dioxide was something that we tested high for in the studio. But the particulate count was pretty low. So as far as the air filtration that you guys have here, obviously we can't see it because it's somewhere either on the roof or in the ceiling somewhere. Mm-hmm. But, somebody's doing a pretty good job, or at least was at that time.
Sure.
Maybe we had some fresh filters in there.
So. Now, how was you used that piece of equipment to demonstrate that for your clients as well when homeowners say, well, what's more air quality like? Is that a service?
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. So if that's something that somebody is concerned with, if they have concerns of any of the things that I mentioned, then we'll make sure that the specialist who comes out has this and can test for it. It only takes about 30 minutes to run the report, and then we get an email generated report and we can share those results with the homeowners.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that happen during the course of the fall and the winter when we close up the house is dust. Tell us how there's got to be a little bit of a way to cut down on that dust. It's not just as easy as making sure you have some pledge.
I was going to say, a can of pledge.
And a lot of rags.
So we talk a lot, obviously, about filters. That's a really popular topic every time we come on the show. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, we'll probably get a homeowner that has a question, just like we did last time, as far as how to clean their air cleaner. As far as filters go, there's a wide range or variety of them out there, and every house may have one that's just a little bit different. It could be a different size. They could have control over the quality of the air filter that they're buying, or maybe it's an upgraded air filtration system. So one of the best ways to cut down on that dust is to upgrade your air filtration system to either an electronic air cleaner, or we also have it's an April air cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a MERV 11 and also MERV 13. It can be either or, depending on what filter you put inside of it. And that is going to trap over 96% of the dust particles in your house.
Wow.
And over 90% of the pollen and mold particles that are floating around as well. Your average or standard 1-inch filter, just to give you a reference point, is only going to capture about 20% of the dust that flows through it. And then less than 5% of pollen and mold that's floating around the air.
Wow. So, is that easy to add to an existing system?
Now sometimes there is a little bit of ductwork that has to be modified, to accommodate. It is a bigger cabinet, so the filter is actually about just like the one in your house, is about 3 or 4 inches wide.
Okay. Right?
So this one, the box itself is almost 6 inches wide, and then it holds a 4-inch filter. So it does take a little, you need to have a little bit of room in between your furnace and your return drop to accommodate it. But sometimes we can just move the return drop. It can be pretty simple, or it can be pretty involved. It's just every house is a little bit different.
On average, what would that cost a homeowner if they choose to go that route?
Sure. Yeah. The April Air air cleaner is $599, and that is taxes and labor. That does not include any major duct modifications.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Ryan and Brian from Arling House in with us. Another issue that always seems to creep up when we talk about closing the house up is some basement smells. Oh. And there's nothing worse than enjoying your house and then going down, if you have a living room down there or a living space down there, and to go, ooh, I think I'll just stay upstairs. What do you think we could do about that?
Dehumidifiers are a growing, very popular in homes. So, you know, just something to be aware of there, and you can go out and find this on the internet. Some of those smaller portable dehumidifiers, there was a recall on some of those. Mm-hmm. You can get a credit up to like $200 depending on what the model is and if it qualifies. Mm-hmm. So if you do a little bit of research on recalled dehumidifiers on the internet, just a Google search, you'll find that list and see if you qualify. One of the things that we offer as an HVAC company, we don't obviously sell the little standalone portable ones. We sell one that is kind of like killing the flea with the sledgehammer. It's something that you can control your whole house with. It can be ducted. It can be freestanding, but it has a greater capacity. And when we control humidity from the basement level, that's where humidity starts, right? And so in the summer months, we want less humidity. And part of that smell is the mustiness of the basement, right? And, you know, to be kind of forward about it, I suppose, it's a mold fart. That's what it is.
I beg your pardon?
It's a mold fart.
Oh,
there you go. So you can have mold in a drain, like down around the main drain,
yeah.
Right? And when they fart, right, they spew out mold spores, and that's how mold spreads, right? And they gotcha. Give off those off gases that smell.
Could you have a musty basement during the winter months and you're trying to keep humidity upstairs? And would you have humidity issues in the basement where you want a dehumidifier?
Absolutely.
Could you have both going at the same time?
Absolutely. Man, you could
have pretty common? Or?
You could have like a 100-year-old house with a rock foundation,
yeah.
And you just get moisture that just pours in through that, right? And concrete is very porous too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've got your dehumidifier set to, let's just say, 45%, 50%. Right. And then your humidifier is set to, we talked about 30 to 45%,
right? Right.
So let's say you got dehumidifier set at 50, 30 to 45 on the humidifier. They'll never cross paths. And usually your, you know, humidifier, the control for that, sometimes it's in the return duct, which mm-hmm. is taking a humidity reading of the air that's coming from upstairs and passing behind. The humidistat, and so it's getting a reading from upstairs. Your dehumidifier is taking a reading from your basement, right?
Okay. So. I didn't know if you could run them simultaneously. That's what
you can,
and I could see that occurring, but I wasn't certain.
You know, the only thing I think you might run into trouble with is if you've got your dehumidifier set to 35% and your humidifier set to 40%. Now we've got a tug of war.
Got it.
You know, game going there.
Didn't know there was going to be math involved. Now I'm really starting to get worried. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Ryan and Brian from Arling House with us. And the other thing that we always hear about is carbon monoxide in the homes. When they get all buttoned up, it appears that that's a bigger issue, a bigger challenge. What's going on with that?
It can be, yeah. So any gas-fired appliance is capable of you know, outputting or, you know, producing carbon monoxide. It's a byproduct of the flame. But also, you know, even if you've just got an all electric house, you know, your car can produce carbon monoxide, right? And, you know, we hear stories, you know, about carbon monoxide poisoning and deaths every year. And it could be something, you know, there for a while with those push start cars,
right?
You know, you heard some stories about people, you know, they're so quiet, you know, now, and sure. they don't realize they're still running, and you get out and you leave it, you know, you close the garage door, mm-hmm. and so people get sick that way. But also, you know, your gas-fired, you know, furnace and everything can produce it. So having a carbon monoxide detector, since we can't see it, taste it, smell it, is really important. And there's a couple of standards there on your carbon monoxide detector that are really important. So having a low-level carbon monoxide detector, just for the health and safety of you and your family, is the preferred carbon monoxide detector. So there are low-level and high-level detectors. And you can tell if you just take your carbon monoxide detector off the wall and look behind it, and it will have a rating. The most common UL-listed carbon monoxide detectors have an alert level of 70 parts per million. And they will only alert you if they detect 70 parts per million or higher for, and it may not tell you, for 1 to 4 hours, okay? That's a long time,
yeah.
All right? So those are the high-level detectors. A low-level detector is going to get have a faster response time. So the one that Arlinghouse offers is something that has a response time at 35 parts per million and a response time within 5 to 15 minutes. And, you know, if you get a low-level alert from our carbon monoxide detector, you got time to finish, you know, making breakfast, drink your coffee, take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an emergency at that point. You make a phone call, and instead of calling 911, you get to call us, right? And so then we come out and we take a look. You know, is it the water heater? Is it the furnace? Was it, you know, the neighbor who was, I don't know, using some generator next door, mm-hmm. and that's producing.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to take a look at those things and find out that they're still in a safe, reasonable level, that someone can enter the home and find out what the problem is.
And I think this is really important, too, that something you guys provide service-wise. You had shown this to me in the past. We had a cracked heat exchanger.
Yeah.
And you had that nice, that technology where you can just get in there with that camera and show that to me clearly. And that's something a lot of people don't take into consideration and should. That is very important as well. And that's why you should have your furnace annually tuned up or inspected.
Absolutely.
You find that often?
You know, cracked heat exchangers, there's a lot of misdiagnosis of heat exchangers that mm-hmm. are out there. So we equip all of our licensed techs with a couple different pieces of technology, some really expensive pieces of technology, one being a combustion analyzer. A combustion analyzer is a very expensive tool that takes a reading at the exhaust. So it's actually in the exhaust taking a reading. We can dial in the efficiency. So it's mm-hmm. a good thing to dial in the gas and the fuel mixture. But also it can give us some indication, you know, is there a safety problem? And then, you know, so we run that report, you know, on all of our tune-ups and then also, you know, using that camera so that we can see on the inside of the furnace to locate that potential issue and bring it to your attention if you need to. And we can show you right there on the camera, just like I did,
right.
you know, with you. So yeah, definitely. It's a good thing, but we need to have checks and balances. So that's why we're equipped with a couple different things, because, man, you can just have a scratch on a heat exchanger and it looks like a crack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we gotta be sure, mm-hmm. you know, about it. So if you do have a company that lets you know that you do have a cracked heat exchanger, every year we offer free second opinions on cracked heat exchangers and also compressor failures. So always keep that in mind that, you know, it's don't freak out. You can get a second opinion and, you know, that way you're sure of what you have to do.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan in with us talking about getting your house ready for the fall season, but we do need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and we have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan in from Arlinghouse Heating and Air to get us updated on a lot of things that we need to make sure we get taken care of as we move into the colder season. And first one I ask you, have any specials or anything going on or any deals?
Absolutely.
We love deals.
Everybody likes a deal.
Yeah.
So one of the best things that we got going on right now is a $69 tune-up. So that's your furnace inspection if you haven't had that done yet. If you have some questions, so our licensed technicians are great consultants. So, you know, if you have questions in regards to the filter, a humidifier, you know, whatever it is, or you just want to make sure everything's safe and running right, $69 tune-up right now. Regular price is $89, so it's just $20, or it is $20 off of that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as we talked about humidifiers, radio special, for those of you guys who are listening, you know, a lot of companies are charging upwards of $1,000 or more for a humidifier installation. If you guys are listening right now, $549 fully installed. That's taxes and labor.
Nice. Quite the deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 749-B105 in and around the house. Something else that we wanted to touch base when we were talking about dust, and I saw you make this point when we were in break about dust mites.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know what dust mites are. Dust mites are part of the arachnid family, so spiders, chiggers, you know, in that family. So they thrive in your home in warm, humid environments, okay?
All right.
And dust mites actually feed off of us. So they eat your skin flakes, all right? Pretty gross. Right?
Well, I know there's a lot of well-fed ones at my house.
And big dust mites. Yeah.
These are the things that really, you know, aggravate allergies in people with asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency room visits are the number one reason why people go to the emergency room is because of asthma. So, you know, controlling dust mites is really important, and people don't think about these things. It's a gross thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little fun fact for you, that 10 to 25% of your pillow weight is dust mite poop. After what? Just a year or two. All right.
Man, you've been talking about some
all right. Mold farts, dust mite poop.
Yes.
It's gross. You are trapping all of this stuff in your house, right, in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, air filtration, humidity, controlling humidity with a dehumidifier and a humidifier is so important, okay? And we're finding out about all this cool stuff, right? Kind of cool. Cool to me,
yeah.
Right?
All right.
Because of all the technology that's available today.
Yeah.
You know, so dust mites, they can't live in humidity levels lower than 50%. Okay.
Really?
They can't drink. Okay. Just like I'm drinking a bottle of water here, mm-hmm. they can't drink. So they actually absorb moisture through their body.
So the dust mite count goes down during the winter months.
You got
population.
It.
Is that correct?
That's correct. So controlling humidity in the summer months is extremely important.
Got
right?
it. Ernie, that's what
good
you need to work on.
Yeah, that's fantastic information. 749. I was just thinking about this pillow I've had forever going. And I love that pillow.
You'll be getting a new pillow.
You can get a new one from Karen Saxtetter next week.
I want to go home and throw them all away right now.
They live for about 30, between 30 and 100 days, how long they live.
I probably have several generations of those guys there because I've had that pillow forever. It's wonderful. But you know, not anymore. I look at that pillow differently now.
Yeah, are there still incentives for people who put in new HVAC systems with the government, state, or with Duke Energy?
Yeah,
people can take advantage of.
Duke Energy still has some rebates on efficiencies,
mm-hmm.
Of furnaces and air conditioners. Owen Electric has some also over in Kentucky. Not a whole lot of incentives through the government right now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a geothermal system, you can get 30% federal tax credit. Yeah, we haven't seen a whole lot of incentives through the government, just more of our local utility companies.
I guess that just kind of fluctuates from year to year.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
I know. I think I missed mine. I think the year before you guys installed my system, there was a rebate. Then that year when you installed it, there wasn't a rebate, except through Duke.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, there was a $3,500 rebate.
That's sweet. You can't beat that.
And it's come and gone.
And in addition to that, you guys, don't you also offer financing for people that want to put in new HVAC
systems?
Yeah, absolutely.
Something we're running right now, 60 months no interest payments. I mean, you just cannot beat that.
No.
And a new system will actually probably pay for the money. The money that you're going to save on the new system will pay for your payment. Mm-hmm. So it's a no-brainer a lot of times.
Ernie.
Yes.
What are you going to do about those dust mites?
Send in a text to my wife. Throw those pillows
away.
Did
you hear that?
No. You know, indoor air quality is something that we just don't think about in our houses. And today we want these tight, efficient homes, and it's less air coming in. And like Brian was saying starting out, people go from hot to cold, cold to hot. They don't open their windows anymore. They're trapping all that stuff inside. So it's very important to see what is in the house with this air advice. And then by the report, you know, of the recommendations, do those recommendations because we're breathing that. Yeah. Our lungs are acting as the filters, and we don't want to do mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. You know, let the filter be the filter, not our lungs, and it's important.
Yeah, that's the two things. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's the two things I loved about the fall and the spring are those periods where nothing is running, where we throw open the windows and let that fresh air into the house, and it just feels so great. And then, then you button it up and get through the winter, then open them back up during the spring and enjoy that again. And people aren't doing that anymore.
They don't. We don't see that customer anymore. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the people who suffer in the household are the children. I mean, they're the ones who are suffering the most. So it's very, very important if you have children to make sure that air quality is correct in the house.
So make sure that you get a hold of our friends here at Arling House Heating and Air. Let's get that contact information out one more time so they can reach you.
Telephone number is 859-727-9000. You can reach us on our website, arlinghouseair.com. We do have a Facebook page you can check out, mm-hmm. and we're on Instagram as well.
Awesome.
And not only do you do installations in Kentucky, you're also licensed for Ohio. Is that correct?
Yeah, we cover all three states.
Cover all three states.
Southern Indiana, Southern Ohio, and Northern Kentucky. Yeah, pretty much that entire 275 loop and 20 to 40 miles beyond that.
Fantastic. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse Heating and Air with us. When we come back, we're going to revisit a couple of things that we talked about earlier in their visit, and we'll need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, just after 7 o'clock. Coming up in just about an hour, or a little less than an hour, we're going to have Karen Sexton join us. There's a lot going on, a couple of great events, and we'll refresh your memory about the hazardous waste material that you might have around your house. You can dispose of it free of charge. We've got that info posted on our Facebook page, In and Around the House.
And so they'll take that pillow of yours with all those dust mites.
Oh, it just broke my heart.
I know.
You know? Because I got this big noggin anyway, and it takes so much to make it comfortable that I just hate it.
Well, I think those dust mites are doing their job. You know, you might as well keep them around for a little longer.
I know. After he told me what all that was, I just thought, I can't do that. You know, so I had to start anew, fresh and clean, as my wife,
Karen,
Lisa said.
Well, I have to ask Karen if we can get you a new
pillow. No, we're going to take care of Lisa.
That's right.
Lisa,
you got to take care of her. Oh, you already changed it out.
Oh, I sent her a text right after he mentioned that. I was like,
Where did she find a pillow big enough to accommodate that noggin of yours?
You know, before my mom passed, she gave my wife, Lisa, a lot of great helpful tips about, managing me. And one of them was, you get two pillows and sew them both into one pillowcase and call it a day.
I like it. So your mom gave Lisa some tips.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Here's how you take care of this guy. And she was great at it. Lisa's been good, too.
And I know somebody that owns a crane company, I guess.
Yeah. Omar Tent and Pillow Making.
That's good, Ernie.
Yeah. What's going on down at Jackson's?
Oh, the holiday season. It's fast approaching. Obviously, we still want to take in the Thanksgiving holiday. But we're getting ready for our open house, our Christmas open house, which will be on the 20th of this month, Sunday, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. We'll have a three-piece, jazz band playing some of your favorite Christmas songs and tunes. And Santa Claus will be there for a photo op with the little ones. And it's just going to be a beautiful Christmas wonderland at Jackson Florist and Garden Center.
And when is that?
November 20th.
November Sunday, 20th.
Noon till 4 p.m. Yes. Sunday, and we also have our artificial tree sale going on. I know it's a little early, But a lot of people have already been thinking about artificial trees. They always do in the month of November because right after Thanksgiving, that's when everybody starts decorating. Our artificial trees are 25% off regular price, and they are top quality artificial trees. We have one of the largest selections in the tri-state area, if not the largest selection. They are Newman trees. We'll touch more on that as we get closer to the holiday season, which has one of the best warranties in the industry, a 4-year light warranty, 10-year tree construction warranty. If you've never had a Newman artificial tree, you need to check it out. And that is NEUMAN.com. They're based in Chicago. A well-made artificial tree, and you will not have any problems with it. Beautiful stuff.
So getting the holiday ready.
That's right. That's what we've been all involved with the past few weeks, and the store's really coming together and looking nice.
Mm-hmm. So when will those malted milk balls arrive? That's the
question. I think the the candy that you're speaking of will be arriving next week, as a matter of fact. We had a meeting yesterday, and we were discussing all the holiday stuff coming up. So just to let you know, the malted milk balls should be sometime next week.
Okay.
That's good stuff right there.
That is. I'm sure that, you know, I'm not feeling well, and I'm... and it's that part of the season when we all get a little sick, and I have to admit, started not feeling well yesterday, and I want to make sure that I go home, get some more rest, get some proper nursing from my wife Lisa, and I'm struggling a little bit, so I was hoping maybe the malted milk balls would be there today, and I'd send her down to get some.
Well,
I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But I'm glad that you guys wait a little closer to Thanksgiving to start celebrating the Christmas holiday, and you have your front house. And the funny thing that the other funny post that I saw this morning, that talked about the one where the guy lamented about how, oh, great, we have to turn the clocks back tonight before we go to bed, and that's going to lead us to have to suffer through an extra hour of political advertisings. And another friend of mine posted that, you know, just when I was really getting fed up with the political advertisements, I saw 5 Christmas commercials the first day of November. He goes, I'm going to be sick of these things, too.
They're already out. So, yeah. And we do our best. We keep the fall theme going. And it takes us a while to set up for the holiday season. So and everybody knows that, and they respect that, thankfully. But you're absolutely right. Let's get through the Thanksgiving season first, which is a time to give thanks. And it's, you know, I love Thanksgiving dinner. Nothing like family and friends getting around and gathering at the table and just digging into that big old turkey.
Yes, indeed. And you hit something there, too. We're going to start a new segment about around the table here in and around the house, because that's an important part of our social life, being around family and friends and breaking bread and good enjoying
food,
a meal.
And good food, because I have a surprise just for you that was dropped off at the Garden Center yesterday by some good friends of ours.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't, you know.
Malted milk balls?
Better than malted milk balls, because this was made with from scratch.
I'm liking
with
it
us
already.
In mind, as a matter of fact, with us in mind. So that makes it even more special.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to that.
I know you are. So,
and a little tip. I saw people are starting to do this now. When you have these family or friend gatherings, collect everyone's phone and put them in a shoebox and put them in a different room.
Really?
And force everyone back to conversations.
What do you mean? The adults' phones or the kids' phones?
Well, both if you have to. You know, it's...
You're like mean, man.
Not being mean.
You can't do that.
Yes, you can.
You would create a mutiny at your house.
No. You wouldn't.
And but you're right. How many times have you been in a restaurant and you just see a couple there that you can tell they're in love with each other still and they're both on their phones? They don't even carry on a conversation.
Well, I've started if I'm talking to someone and during the conversation, they pull out their phone and start looking at their phone, I change the conversation to the most ridiculous thing I can think of and then wait for them to go, oh, okay, great.
Really? Really?
Yeah, your nose is big, your hair is awful, and your pants are ugly. And to see if they start paying attention then, just as a little joke.
You know what I usually do? And this one gets my goat. At the garden center, someone will come in, and they want your undivided attention. Mm-hmm. And you're giving it to them. Mm-hmm. Their phone rings. They think that is more important than stopping in and utilizing your time. I walk away. If they take the phone out of their purse or out of their pocket and pick it up, see you.
I got
to
go.
You don't have to come find me. I don't mean that to sound disrespectful, but I think, fair play is fair play.
Sure. And that's what we were talking about. Gathering around the table, in and around the house. We're going to have another a nice little new segment for you coming up in just a little bit. But we also want to remind you that even though the temperatures are mild, we will see that first frost sometime soon. If you haven't already done so, get your outside plants that you want to bring in inside, which is a great time for you to focus on the inside of the house. Change the filters of the furnace. Check the batteries, especially this weekend since we're setting the clocks back. And the smoke detectors and the carbon monoxide detectors, change the batteries in those.
Clean out the dryer vent. Check that. There are a lot of home fires that are created or come about as a result of clogged or dirty dryer vents. And, those things heat up. They really do. And just to give you a quick analogy of what's building up in that dryer vent, when you take the lint screen out of your dryer and clean it periodically, that's building up inside that vent as well. So something you want to pay attention to for sure. Also, a pet peeve of mine is one of those things, make sure you have a fire extinguisher at the home. If not one, at least two or three, one in the garage, one in the basement. That's where mechanically things are happening for the most part, and one underneath the kitchen sink. Just, again, I don't want you to be a firefighter. However, you might ward off a potential issue.
Yep, quick action can cut down on the damage.
ABC.
I was about to ask you, what's the best one to get?
ABC.
Okay.
That's wood, liquids, and electrical. So that will take care of all three issues. So just like what's outside the door here at the studio, which is ABC. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, I was just noticing that, which are flammable liquids and electrical, which were around.
Very good.
So that's why that's there.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Karen Sexteter from Sexteter Interiors coming up at about 8 o'clock, and there's a great event going on this weekend for her and everyone else that wants to get a jump start on the holiday season. And we're also going to touch base a little bit about deer are on the move, and it's the rutting season for them. So if you have any young trees or new trees to your lawn or landscape area, here's a couple of ideas for you to protect them. I mean, they're vulnerable right now, and the deer could destroy them pretty quickly.
Yeah, newly planted trees. There was somebody the other day that sent a photograph in to me at the garden center, and they just recently planted a couple of maple trees. And I'm telling you, if you're not protecting those trees with some sort of mesh product, and you have a lot of deer issues and close to your home, don't even risk that, because all of a sudden, a tree that you may have paid $200 for is just totally ruined.
Right.
So we'll tell you how to take care of that. Are we taking a break here? I didn't quite get that. We're still in it?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to take care of it, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to a break.
No, that's okay.
I was just following your lead, Ernie, as I always do, That's why you were always good at dancing when you took that at Northern. But to take care of those trees, just simply go out to your local hardware store, pick up, if you're familiar with chicken wire, or you can buy the hardware cloth, and just wrap that gently around the trunk of your trees. That will keep the deer off of them and from rubbing up and down. What you're trying to do is get that felt, like that velvety felt, off of their antlers.
Right.
And, boy, they'll tear a tree up right now. Once they disturb that outer trunk area and that wound is deep, you just don't know what the outcome is going to be of that tree or the shrub. They're destructive. They really are. So protect those trees that you just recently planted. If it's just been weeks ago or even a month or two ago, don't risk it. That's so important. And also, these products work extremely well at deterring deer. Get you know, stop in your local garden centers and nurseries. Look for deer scram. Look for liquid fence. Those products are guaranteed to you, the homeowner, by the manufacturer. If you're not satisfied with those products, 100% of your money is coming back to you. So you have nothing to lose. That's a win-win-win situation for everybody involved. And once deer get accustomed to coming into your yard and hanging out at that smorgasbord, that's like Ernie at the restaurant. That's like Ernie at,
I knew that was
at
coming.
The OK Corral. But absolutely, got to do something to keep you out.
Yeah. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Terry on the line from Fairfield. Terry, we're going to come to you right after the break and talk a little bit about planted fall grass seed. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Great way to stay connected with us is jump onto our Facebook. We're about to upload a few pictures of around the table with Tony and Ernie and John. And I'm going to distract Tony with our caller. Tony, we have Terry on the line from Fairfield. Then I'm going in with a fork.
Okay.
Terry is from Fairfield. Planted some fall grass seed. Wants to know what to do about cutting it before winter. Ooh. So, Terry, how long has it been down?
It's been down. Well, we had to do it in sections. We had a pool put in and put up an Allen block retaining wall. Lots of hand tilling, lots of raking. Well, we did it in sections back in September. Three of the big sections we did all came in. It's come up beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I've already got like three cuts on it. Well, the hillside we had to do, once again, a lot of tilling, a lot of raking. We got it all down. Well, it's up, and it's all came in like you can't see the straw or anything. But I haven't, it's been down about a little over two weeks. I haven't got a good cut on it yet. Yesterday I was going to cut up that rain from the night before. It was just too wet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to get on the hill. So is it going to – I was told if I don't get three cuts on it before the first frost, it'll kill it all out. Is that true?
No, not at all. You know, you do want to mow it as often as you can when it's mowable, I should say, if that's even a word, mowable. But when you can mow it, you know, that hardens it off. At this point in time, it sounds like it's really it's come a long way. You'll get a couple of mowings on it. There's no doubt about it. And once you do that, you know, you're definitely going to harden it off. And that's the benefit of getting a couple mowings in on it before we get into the winter months. You know, the forecast looks really good for the next week or so. So
I've had great weather here for planting grass last month.
It has been a wonderful fall for establishing lawns. And we've had a little length. It's been lengthy, for lack of a better term, because we've had some decent weather and it's taken us deeper into the fall season. So some of us who were a little late planting grass seed, we've been successful with it because usually we've already had a frost or two by now. So in your particular situation, you're good to go. And when I love the fact that you didn't get on it while it was too wet the other day. That's kudos to you. You don't want to do that. You're going to do more harm just matting it down that way than you would just leaving it alone like you did.
Yeah.
So once you get a couple mowings on it, what I want you to do, if you can perhaps get a fall fertilization in on it, you know, the middle of this month, the latter part of this month, that will even enhance it and make it stronger for next season. And that's the Fertilum Orange Bag, Lawn Food Plus Iron.
Okay. Is it better when I do get my cuts to bag it or to mulch it into the established grass there?
You know, you can do it either way. You know, if you still have, like, straw sometimes that's there and you're bagging, you're pulling a little bit of that up, which is good. Perhaps you might be near an area that you have trees or fallen leaves. Getting the leaves up off of it with a bag is beneficial, too. You know, because you don't want leaves lying around on newly established lawns, especially when the leaves get wet. They just mat it down and smother it. So it's your call from that standpoint. So once you get a couple of mowings in on it, and don't set your mower deck down low yet. Leave it tall. Okay. And I can guarantee you we're going to have a couple more mowings at least before we get into December.
Yeah, I would figure up to Thanksgiving probably. At least.
Yeah. Boy, it's been a wonderful year for establishing turf, you know, in the lawn this fall. We posted a Facebook page or a posting. One of our customers at Jackson Florist did a total lawn renovation, and I got a before and after photo on our Facebook page. Incredible. And he used a tall fescue.
Yeah, that's what I use.
One called Fine Lawn Elite, and it's a beautiful turf, and it's been around for a number of years, and it's so reliable. I use it all the time. It's been one of those kind of fall seasons. So kudos to you. Stay in the game. Stay where you are. And next year, you'll see a beautiful lawn.
Good. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Right. Thank you for the call. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. You know, that's great advice, because when you're putting new seed down or you've got new grass, then you seem to get advice from everyone. And some of it's not always correct.
No, you know, what you're worrying about, as soon as that grass, as soon as the seed germinates and it's relatively young and you get a hard freeze or a couple hard frost, that's when it's most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But in his situation, it sounded as if things have come along a pretty good way. And from that standpoint, you know, he's going to be able to mow it a couple of times. I wouldn't worry at all.
Right.
The weather's been so much in our favor. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. And when we come back, we're going to have a new segment called Around the Table. But we want to remind you that the weather is going to be picture perfect to get some of those things done outside in the next couple of days. We will see lows on the upper 30, so we're not really concerned about a frost. If you haven't gotten your plants in just yet, don't worry about that. You've got a couple of days, but don't wait too long. And then a clear sky, so you'll get a chance to see the super moon coming up in a couple of days, as well as the meteor showers that are coming our way, too. That'll be spectacular. But warmer than normal temperatures for this time of the year means you've got a little extra time to get that work done on your lawn. We've got a couple of other things that we're going to be checking with. And we also have, we're going to check with our friend from Watson's. We're going to talk to Jerry again and coming up in a little bit about pool tables and stuff like that, as we get ready to move our activities indoors for the holiday season. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And welcome to a new segment called Around the Table, which is something Tony just came up with. And I thought, well, this is perfect. I love being around the table, and we are always encouraging to spend time with your friends and family and just have some genuine conversation and break bread. And it looks like we're going to be breaking into pie. Tell me about this, Tony.
Well, I just pulled out a slice for you, and I need a slice for John and one for myself. Our good friend, do you remember the rhubarb pie? Well, a great customer of ours at Jackson Florist and Garden Center, Mrs. Willenborg, she made this especially for you and I. They were in the other day, and we got to talking about Kushaws, and she was talking about Kushaw pies, and I was like, you know, I always say this to people, I've never had that. You know how that goes. No, but really, I've never had a Kushaw pie. So yesterday, she surprised me when she came into the store with this to share with you and I. What do you think? It's all looking good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And you remember how wonderful that the rhubarb pie was?
I do.
So this is our segment, Around the Table. And I'm going to add to this in just a moment with some other goodies and treats that I got to tell you about that I had on the grill the other day.
But, so does that mean that every week when we do this feature, you're going to bring in something home-cooked?
No, but it's going to be something food-related.
Well, what's a Kushaw?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know if it's really a gourd or a pumpkin, but it's big. How's that? And you just, I guess you cook it down. You do whatever you need to do with it to make this wonderful-looking pie.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. How is it? I've not had my piece yet.
I was brought up with that pumpkin in your mouth.
Such a surprise treat from Mrs. Willenborg, and I can't say thank you enough. She doesn't want to. I always run into her and her daughter at Kroger's. And I don't go to Kroger's often, but usually when I'm in Kroger's, there they are.
Wow.
But
this is such a
nice treat. So I'm looking forward to my piece. Now, the other thing I have to tell you about around the table food-wise, it was back in June. I picked up a barbecuing book from out at, was it Joseph Beth? I think that's the place. But Danielle Bennett, she's known as the Diva Q. That's a her book title, Diva Q's. And I was over last week at Findlay Market after I left the show, stopped by our good friends at Mackey's Meats, and picked up some baby back ribs. Baby back, baby back. And, boy, you're great. Are you listening to me, or are you just tearing into
No, I'm listening.
I can tell. Hey, look up for a second.
I was brought up not to talk with my mouth full.
Oh, just look up. Look up, will you?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
You're doing my piece. You're doing great. Keep talking.
Keep talking. But anyway, I did this rib recipe, and it was incredible. And Ernie, a lot of it had to do with these rubs. I did this rub from scratch. I did a wet sauce from scratch. And I cooked these ribs on the grill with the indirect method approach. And I would spritz the ribs every hour with apple juice. But, oh, they just came off the bone. They were so delicious. My neighbor said he was going to come over and steal them. He said it smelled that good. I had the smoker box all fired up. But, you know, if you're looking for some really good meats, and we got to get our good friends in here from Mackey's down at Findlay Market, because there's a lot of stuff about meat, you know, the shoulder, the butt, the whatever. I don't know all those parts of the pig or the cow that you really need to pay attention to. But those ribs, you okay?
I'm doing great. I just finished my piece.
Hey, just...
I'll talk for a few minutes while you eat
yours.
Tell me about the ribs now. Was having trouble chewing and listening.
Well, Danielle Bennett, the Diva Q's book, check it out. She's the female version of the barbecuer of all barbecues.
Uh-huh.
And she's from Canada, I think. We need to get in touch with her somehow.
Okay.
But I've done a couple of her recipes out of this book, and this one, you know, it was the baby back ribs.
Awesome.
And she was like Johnny on. And I did this, one of the rubs is called a Memphis rub. And, you know, that was sweet smoked paprika, onion powder, brown sugar, all this stuff. And what was interesting, I took mustard. She said to rub mustard over the ribs, top and bottom.
Right.
And then put this rub on it, let it set for 30 minutes, and put it on a grill.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it was to die for.
Yeah, I'm not a mustard fan, but how did it taste?
I could still eat these things if I had enough.
Right.
That's how good they were. And then I had the smoker box going, hickory chips, and just everything was so well flavored. They were awesome.
Wow.
So check this book out. There was another recipe in here called ABTs, Atomic Buffalo Turds. Really, they're jalapenos.
What?
What kind of look did you just give me? We'll talk about those some other time. But in and around the table, Ernie.
I like it.
Who likes to belly up at the table? No one any more than you and I.
That's agreed there. And be sure to tell her that thank you so much. That was wonderful.
I will certainly do that.
And I like the idea of the new feature, around the table, in and around the house. And I can't wait to see what you bring in next week.
So, well, I don't know if I'm bringing anything in next week, but hang on now.
Yeah.
You need to relax.
I do like the idea of getting our friend in from Findlay Market.
We need to do that. And again, Findlay's a great place to visit. If you really get into cooking and different food items, that's the place to go.
Right.
It's a wonderful trip down to Findlay. And I know we're getting a little bit of out of season, and we talk about this all the time, you know, the farm to table. You know, there are a lot of local farmers that bring in fresh produce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good stuff. It really, really is.
Awesome.
And just the fresher it is, the better it is.
Okay. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Karen Saxtetter coming in just about 25 minutes or so to be joining us and talk about some holiday events coming up, a big one this weekend. And it's going to be an awesome weekend to get some stuff done. And thanks again for the Kusha pie. That is a new experience for me.
Really, really a nice treat.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We got our friend Jerry from Watson's on the line again. And beautiful fall weather, Jerry. A lot of people are thinking about, you know, all the activities are going to be moving inside now. And what a great way to spend time with your friends and family and around a brand new pool table.
Absolutely.
How long has Cincinnati been involved in pool tables, and where did that all come from?
Well, Brunswick, it started right here in Cincinnati, Ernie.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in 1845, a gentleman by the name of John Moses Brunswick, and he made carriages. Then he saw a pool table, and he thought, oh, I can build these things. And so he started building it for all the meat packers. You know, back in those times, Cincinnati was just a big hub. A meat packer.
Porkopolis and all that.
Sure. Yep. I mean, that company grew and grew. They're still well known in billiards. Some of their famous owners are Abraham Lincoln, James Dean, Lou Gehrig. There's still billiard tables from the 1800s made by Brunswick that are there and playable that. We're one of their largest dealers.
The meat packers, I guess, are the guys who are really successful businessmen, and then they needed to have or wanted to have something really excellent quality, craftsmanship, the whole nine yards, and that's what the pool table is for you guys. Right?
It sure is, and I'll tell you, it's a game of precision.
Is it really? Yeah, that's probably why I'm not very good at it yet.
Now, just think about it. I mean, that ball has to roll clear across that table and run perfectly straight, and they're heavy. The slate that's in those things weighs over 600 pounds.
Wow.
That table isn't heavy enough to support it. It's not going to play right. And we get these installers. We've had them over 15 years. These guys are the best at it.
You know, and that's an important part of the game, because there's a part in that game where you have to obviously figure angles, striking the ball, speed of the ball, and if the table's not set up right to begin with, the game's never right.
That's absolutely right. Got to move the same every time.
And so if it started in the 1800s, what are styles changing like these days?
Oh, they are just, it's amazing. These are not your grandfather's tables anymore.
Oh.
Our best manufacturer is Plank and Hyde, and they've got all the up-to-date contemporary rustic styles. They've got an industrial style that looks fantastic. You know, a pool table is a piece of furniture in your house, and it should look good. They even offer matching shuffleboard tables to it.
You know, I was going to ask you about that, because the shuffleboard's an interesting animal in itself, is it?
It sure is.
Tell me about the shuffleboard tables.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, our sales double every year in shuffleboard tables. They are coming back strong. They started in the 1500s.
Wow.
People would slide coins down long tables. And then when it got over here, it was popular. Listen to this. Jim Corbett, you've heard of him. He was that boxer back in the early 1900s. He had a local tavern owner install one of those in his pub. It takes a lot of skill for it that way. Back in the 40s, everybody was putting these in their houses. People like Betty Grable, Harry James, Merv Griffin, Alan Ladd, they all had their own shuffleboard tables. And what's great about it is everybody can play it. You don't have to be a skilled player like in pool.
Mm-hmm.
You can just hop in there fresh and do it.
I'll learn the game. And I guess it's age appropriate too, because if you can reach the table, you're eligible to play.
That's exactly right. You know? That's exactly
and
right.
And another one of those great things that you can have in the home and draw the family together and get them away from all of the electronic games and distractions of the day and carry on conversations around tables.
Absolutely.
Now, is it a game of precision as well, shuffleboard?
It sure is. They have adjusters built underneath these long boards. You know, these boards typically are 12 to 14 feet long, mm-hmm. 18 to 20 inches wide, and you've got to be able to adjust those boards to make sure that slides evenly all the way down the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Ernie, right now is our best sale of the year going on these things, on both our pool tables and our shuffleboard. And I mean, these values are great.
Well, give me some contact information for our listeners, because now as people are thinking about all the activities are coming inside, the holidays are on us, and they want to get this done. Can you make the purchase and get it set up for the holidays?
Absolutely. We've got these in stock and ready to go.
Awesome. Give us your website and address and phone number.
Okay, well, it's watsons.com. It's 513-326-1100. And we're right over here on Sharon Road, right where Mosteller runs, dead ends right into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 2721 East Sharon Road.
Fantastic. Jerry, always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Ernie.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. You take care.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and covered a lot of ground today. And Tony started a new segment of our show called Around the Table, and Brought in a Kusha pie, a little education for me. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. And that is a gourd, by the way.
Yeah.
And that was delicious. I did enjoy my piece. What about you? Spot.
Mine was awesome.
You wolfed it down.
I did.
You wouldn't even look up.
Oh.
That's okay.
I was hyper-focused.
I knew you were. And I'm just ribbing you a little bit, no pun intended, because I've seen you eat before and you just stay at it. You don't even look up.
Speaking of ribs, I loved how your comment about the ribs you just prepared. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I love ribs.
You know, I've been trying to experiment with the grill a little bit more and trying to hone in on some things, you know, the indirect cooking method, and that means that you're not really cooking your meat or whatever it is you have on a grill directly over a flame.
Right.
So the
you're in the upper shelf?
Adjacent, no, not necessarily. You could, but the adjacent flames are the ones that are providing all the heat around what it is that you're cooking.
Okay.
But I did pick up this book called Diva Q, and Danielle Bennett is the author, and she's from Canada, I understand, and she just tears it up when it comes to barbecue. She really does. So it caught my eye, and I did a couple of her rubs and her wet sauce and did her rib recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed it to a T. I'm usually like that. Everything, you know, from start to finish. And they were just to die for. They really were. Mm-hmm. And I was impressed myself. I really was. So I'm even more anxious to pick up ribs or cook other things like that on the grill, which, you know, I know there's a lot of professional rib cookers, barbecuers out there, smokers, you name it. I'm kind of a novice, but if you have anything to share with us in regards to this, feel free to do so. And if you want to be kind enough and surprise us with some goodies and treats and you want to show off some of your baking skills or cooking skills, like our good friend Mrs. Willenborg did. She dropped off a Kusha pie for Ernie and myself, and that was very special. Hey, we're here at 2060 Redding Road.
Yeah, have them bring them to you, and then you bring them in.
Bring them down to Jackson Florist and Garden Center. We'll help you try them out.
Tony, we have Bill from Independence on the line. He's got a question about can he still plant Fertilum grass seed this late in the year. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, how are you, Ernie?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm very well myself. But
good.
This has been aggravating me all fall now.
Well, we'll get this figured out for you, buddy. What's going on?
Well, she went and bought some Scott stuff
and put
it on the yard, and I just don't think the results came. And I just wondered if I could go and put the Fertilum on it, and it wouldn't hurt it.
Now, are you wanting to, are we talking grass seed, or are we talking fertilizer? Okay, fertilizer. Well, if you've already put fertilizer down, have you done one application this fall, or have you already done two?
Well, what she done is she went and got that Scotts, and she went to a big box store, Costco or somewhere, and got a big deal on it, you know. And then she had my grandson put it down. Well, it's just not like the Fertilum does. I always do it every year, the Fertilum.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But it's just not, I'm just not getting the results, I don't think. It's not green, and it's green enough, but it's not as bright green. And
well, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you, Billy. Did you put grass seed down?
No.
Fertilizer.
Okay. All right.
Well, there's a huge difference between the two. There really is. And without me getting into any depth or detail, the real key element here that comes into play is that you're getting iron from Fertilum's Lawn Food Plus Iron, that fall application.
Right.
And really, when you can get that down sometime in early September, and any time during September is adequate, but the earlier in September that you can get that down, and I like to shoot for the Labor Day weekend.
Right.
I will tell you this, your lawn will green up like nobody's business, and you'll get the ability to appreciate that and see it as we move along throughout the month of September. And then the second application from the Fertilum three-step program should go down in the middle of November this month.
Right, before Thanksgiving, exactly.
Yes. So since you've already done one fall application, you know, get out of that. Get away from the Scotts Miracle-Gro product.
Right.
And get back into the sink with the Fertilum three-step.
Okay, can I go ahead and do it now, or should I wait?
In another week. When did you put down that first application?
Heck, I don't know.
Has it been 6 weeks?
Somewhere around in there.
As long as it's been 6 weeks, you're golden.
Okay.
And don't get out of it. Bill, don't make me come out there to Independence.
You don't know your way.
I do. I'm not far from you.
But I know exactly where you're at.
All right. Yeah, but
he can't find his way to
your dad.
Is
cool with me.
There you go. Well,
great.
Yeah, Fertilume three-step, the best time to get into it if you're not in it. For those who've yet to fertilize, the fall is the best time. So
right. Well, that's what I thought. And you know how women are. What can I say?
Yeah.
You know,
we need them.
Sleep, and I probably couldn't have called you.
That's right, Billy.
Also, one more thing. When you set that fertilized spreader, you know, it's got the numbers on it.
Uh-huh.
Well, mine's only got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J.
What? Really?
Yeah, but it's the air-tired one and everything, but it's an alphabet instead of numbers, so I always just guess at it. I put it, like, on AI and let it go from there, but...
Well, kind of the best way to do it, if you know what the square footage of your lawn is...
Uh-huh.
And you just want it to come out at a nice even rate, not
right.
too heavy and not, you know, not shy of that. But, you know, and then it sounds as if you have a feel for it nonetheless.
Yeah.
But I've never seen the alphabet, the alphabetical part of that.
I think this one is a Lesco spreader, I think.
Lesco?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's a Lesco.
But, which Lesco makes good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I bought this several years back. This is $250, $300 back then, so...
Yeah, if you have the pneumatic tires, it sounds like a really nice one.
Right.
But, yeah, just whatever it is, it gives you that even distribution. I have a cheat sheet, and sometime I'll try and get that posted on our Facebook page.
Okay.
And I'll
check
more into
that. Okay, I appreciate that. And I just put it on light, and if I have something I got extra, I go over it again.
Yeah, just go at a diagonal or
crisscross.
Yeah, opposite way.
Okay.
It's perfect. All right, have a good weekend. Thanks for sharing.
Hey.
All right.
All right, Billy.
Bye.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And our friend Karen has joined us, and suddenly the ball of energy has exploded in the studio, and it's Christmas all over.
Literally, snowballs.
We're going to go from leaves to snowballs, guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's at that time of the year.
Well, welcome again. Great to see you. And tell us a little bit about we had about a 15-second decorating party here in the studio.
Oh, heck yeah. You know, you got to, you know, make it look great in here,
yeah.
A little fluffy and all those different things. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of an unusual morning with all the fog that's out there. If you're just waking up. Yeah, I was driving in from Harrison, Ohio, here downtown, and all across the river of Miami town, and a lot of fog. And then my son, Ryan, is in Lake Cumberland, Kentucky, and sent a beautiful picture of the fog raising from that with his coffee cup this morning.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's a little thick. I mean, you can look out the window now. And I encourage people, if you're driving, for sure, be careful, especially if you're in areas that's highly populated with deer. You don't want to hit one of those bad guys.
No. But, you know, wait till that fog lifts. I guess we still get to see our leaves and some of them. I really wished our ash trees wouldn't have died.
Oh,
I mean,
I know.
It's just so sad.
That breaks my heart. As I look up on the hillsides.
Oh, yeah. You know, it definitely has taken away from our colorful fall. That is for certain. But, you know, here we are at fall and wonderful time of the year. Everybody's, you know, starting to get excited, cleaning their homes, getting ready for the Thanksgiving. Now we're in November and it's not all about football.
No, unfortunately, it's not. Yeah.
It's not. Although,
shucks.
You know, heck.
Yeah, very well put.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, so I always enjoy your stories, Tony, about the turkeys here in northern Kentucky. Turkey farm that you go and get your turkey
farm.
Oh,
up at Tuas Turkey Farm. Yeah, they're crowded too. Even you stop in there, they have a couple of people just directing traffic. That's how busy it gets.
Yeah, I mean, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. I almost want to have that now. But so one of my jobs is to give you guys some ideas of setting that table, not just with the turkey.
So what are we going to do?
Well, you know, there's a lot of cool things that you can do with your different hurricanes that you might have already at your home to utilize those on your mantles or on your tabletops, as we all have done. But
now, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, absolutely.
Please tell Ernie what a hurricane is.
Oh, it's not something from the south.
And it's not a drink.
And it's not a drink.
It's not a tropical storm.
Well, I'm confused.
Glass hurricane, and you know, we'll put a candle in it and then we decorate around it. It's just something you can use all year round,
like a lamp.
Yes, well, not necessarily over a lamp, but in the center of your table.
Okay.
And so they'll call them a hurricane globe.
Okay, gotcha.
So then you sit that on your table and you put a candle in it, and then you might put a wreath around it, or you might accent with, you know, just more of a garland for more of a length on your table. But with those, now since we can still use our candles, and then back in the day there was like little tea lights, but now there's beautiful pillar candles that really look great. And it's an investment. They might be $40.
Right. I know which one. Are you talking about the flameless?
Yes, the flameless.
They look so real. And when you walk by those, it moves.
Yes.
You know, like the wind. If you walking by, it
they just look great. I mean, we sell two different styles of those at Saxdetters Interiors. Mm-hmm. And at first I said to the girls, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, but they are selling. They're great. And really, when you think about it, if you buy a nice candle, you know, you're going to spend $15 or $20 on a pillar candle.
Right.
I've sold those throughout my 28 years because they won't make such a mess as the really inexpensive ones. So anyway, invest in those candles. You can use them all year round. And with the hurricanes, there's some cute little ideas. I've seen to where they'll take like a little sled. And you could use that as a tabletop. I sell like little sleds. I'll put my penguins and things on them. Or maybe the snowman might be just, you know, dancing around on it. But you lay these hurricanes, sit three hurricanes on the sled, depending on the length of it, globes. And then you put the candles in it and then just lightly decorate around that with different little sprigs of cedar. It can be fresh cedar, but you can use that now since you're not using a flame. So you could do that.
Right, yeah. So,
you know.
No risk of burning anything.
No risk of burning. Right. I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, you do not want any kind of fires, for sure.
No,
I was going to ask you, since you brought that up, are decorative faux candles slowly replacing real candles? Because we just had our friends from Arlinghouse in here last week, and they were talking about air quality index meters that they'll come in and analyze your air quality. Candles were the number one pollutants in people's homes during the holiday season because the houses are all closed up and they light them, and that got to go somewhere. So are you finding a lot of people are buying those candles that
Right. You know, I mean, well, we have our senses that God gave us, and one of the senses is smell. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons for the candles is for the smell of the holiday or smell of the summer or clean air and different things, even like the little plug-in things that you buy. But there is an air quality issue with those. I heard about with the plug-ins, which I've used those also. So there are different ways that you can get those smells of your season throughout. And by using these candles, you are making your air fresher.
Sure.
And there's, you can't worry. You don't have to worry about turning them off.
Or if you fall asleep.
Burning a candle.
Hey, I'd love to be able to bottle the smell of or the scent of your store during this period of time and just carry that around.
And honestly, in my stores, they do smell really nice.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I really don't burn candles very much inside my store. And the reason is because we get so busy and so excited and so much work to do that we forget to blow them out also. So therefore, there's those little sprays. And like through the holidays, we'll spray our Christmas trees and different things. But anyway, that's the candles and the hurricanes. And
what about with the lanterns? Are you still decorating a lot with the lanterns?
Yes.
Yes,
the lanterns are great. Again, they'll give you height to your table. So the lantern is like the globe. It just gives you a little house around that globe.
Right.
And using these candles that are the battery-operated candles, the flame with the flame, it's a great, you know, thing to do. We've been using them this year and making centerpieces with them. So you can imagine if it was a wreath, instead of hanging it on the wall, we lay it on the table. We put the lantern in the center of it and then decorate around that. So that's another wonderful centerpiece.
And although that candle might be a little salty in price, but think about this. What does a regular candle cost you? And after you burn through two or three of those, you've already recouped that cost.
Right.
So you can't beat that. Now, are you buying those with the remotes?
We have some with remotes.
Ernie would be kicked back, put up on a table with that remote.
Yeah. I mean, you know, heck yeah, everything's got a remote except you guys.
Isn't that true?
As long as it works for the TV, I'm all in.
Just way too many remotes. Way too many remotes. But anyway, so that's just a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and along with that, with throughout the fall for Thanksgiving, and that is use some type of a runner, of a table runner that give you those different colors. Even I'll even use a scarf from out of my closet. As a table runner. All you're doing is accenting an area with color. So if it was an orange scarf, a black scarf, going into Christmas, it could be a red scarf. And then you just might want to wrap it around even like a small little tree or some carolers, or just giving them a little nest. And it really does draw your eye to whatever display that you are working with. So it's, that's just kind of a little tidbit.
Do people ever ask you, I bet your house is just beautiful?
I need to stay home today. Instead, we have Saxsetters Interiors open house, and we were really busy yesterday. And so I should stay home and clean. But, you know, I made cookies this week for my open house.
Oh.
Yeah, I even got my sprinkles out.
All right.
Yeah. And so, you know, here we go.
Are you a good baker?
I don't bake like I used to. When you get a little older, you kind of give up on some things. And that's one of the things I don't need to really be doing. I would rather bake a turkey.
I hear you. Man. Anytime. You want to drop one off down here on a Saturday.
First, I've been seeing a lot of turkeys out there. Yeah. You've been seeing turkeys out there running around?
I heard you say that, and I saw Tony pointing at me like I am the turkey.
No, not at all. You know, you're right, though. I do see a lot of turkeys.
Yeah.
Even down the road from us, there's a house that up on the hill behind it, they've cleared it out a little bit, and you might see several up there running around.
Oh, yeah. On the way to our store there at the Brookville exit, there is a field, and it had corn in it, so of course it's a perfect place for them to hang out, and I bet you there's 15 turkeys there. And I do remember the day where I never even saw a turkey other than at the grocery.
I agree with you.
The turkey, good old butterball.
Turkey and deer, you know. And even growing up out in Independence, it was a small farming community back in the day. We, you know, kind of got accustomed to seeing that. But then as years passed, didn't see very often. And now you see a lot of them.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah, maybe about 10 years ago, I was out in Indiana, north of Brookville, Indiana. And I was going to a customer's. And I almost hit a turkey on the road.
Ooh.
And I'm like, if I tell my insurance man I hit a turkey, he might think I'm crazy. But now I think they would get it.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Knock out a headlight, tear off a front bumper.
Mm.
Pretty destructive.
Yes. Another good thing you can do for fun is if you have any clear vases or jars or canisters, you can make like a layer with different pieces for the holidays. For fall, it might be like with some dried beans or dried corn would be harder to find. But make different layers, maybe three different layers just to add color to that. But when it's really fun is through Christmas. And so you take those little candy cane kisses and you maybe make your first layer with that. And then you go get the little wintergreen lifesavers and then you put another layer and then you put the little candy cane kisses again on top. So it just brings color and then you can offer something to your friends when they're there.
Very good. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We are celebrating the holiday season with Karen Saxsetter. Got a lot more ground to cover about holiday decorations, holiday events. It is like this is her wheelhouse right here. So we've got a lot of stuff to cover with Karen and some more comments on the decoration. She's hasn't been here more than a couple of minutes and redecorated the studio. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, covering a lot of ground. Got our friend Karen Saxsetter from Saxsetter Interiors here with us and brought in some decorations. And they were posting a couple of pictures on our Facebook page. And I looked over to my left and there at Tony and Karen with these gigantic bells in their hands. And Tony says, oh, these are... What did you say they were?
One of the big ones, your dinner bell.
Yeah. I said, oh, look, she brought Ernie's dinner bell in. But some beautiful decorations and the snowball garland. Well, tell me about that. That's posted on our Facebook page, so you can jump on the page and follow along. So tell me about this.
Well, we've been showing a lot of that in our stores for our Christmas open house. It's a snowball garland. Snowballs are always fun. When you think of a snowball, you think you're going to have a fun with the kids or friends, you know, as long as that mean kid in town's not around. Yeah. And but anyway, and so with the different snowballs, it brings lightness to your greenery when you figure a Christmas tree or with your different garlands. And so by adding that, just brings a little bit of fun to it. We have some snowball garlands that are ran by batteries, or you can plug them in. And those are really pretty also. They'll use them on top of a hutch, a larger type cabinet. They're even using them in garland on their fireplace and different things like that. And it just brings another whole aspect to the whole thing. So you can be more simple with more silvers and a little bit of golds and your snowballs and your Christmas greenery. Or you can liven it right up.
With what?
With some red, from some little snowmen, or Mr. Santa could be there, and some red plaid ribbon. We have ribbon with snowballs on it, and snowflakes more. And, you know, so you can just kind of be a little bit of everything. So it's something that's never going to go away, are snowballs.
I like it. Right there. It's a, baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just bring those in. I like it. I really do. And like you said, the mean kid throwing those. Ernie, were you one of those?
Never.
No?
Never mean.
That's awesome.
Well, okay, every once in a while.
But, I might have threw one at my sister.
The problem with...
I threw a few at buses, you know, like going by when I was...
The problem with that is my brother Clip and I were always outnumbered by the Eubanks and the Franksmen. So if you throw one, there's going to be 15 of them coming back your way. You learn not to do that.
Oh, heck no. You shouldn't throw snowballs at anybody bigger than you.
That's right.
No, that was always my theory.
No one bigger than you. That's for sure.
For sure. But no, snowballs are a great investment. If you, when you're coming out to one of our stores, either mine or Tony's, look for our snowballs. They're all just really pretty. And, you know, with those being said, if you do have a mantle or a different area, you can leave those up through the winter, because I bet you we get some snow.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's in January and February.
Yeah.
Never before Christmas.
Yeah.
Hope it comes up to our belt buckles this winter.
No.
We've got the porch stocked with firewood. It's been seasoned all year, and we're ready.
No, last winter was pleasant from a snow standpoint for the most part, I thought. But I don't want that stuff lingering around. I like it right there before Christmas, then afterwards... Get it out of here.
I hope we get all the sunshine through the winter. It helps for sure.
There you go.
You guys are no fun.
But this makes it, this really livens things up. And you said something a second ago, ribbon. Mm-hmm. The plaids, are they in? Because we're still seeing the trend in the plaid colors, that like rustic look, the tree lot look.
You know, it's kind of funny. It's like everything else in life. We do sell a lot of the plaids and a lot of reds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have that elegant side.
Oh, yeah.
We have a beautiful tree that is the silvers, and we have some black ribbon in it. It sounds kind of different, or the black top hats. It's just a very distinguished type of a tree, and it has that perfect place in some homes and settings, especially if you're going to run into having that great New Year's Eve party. But you can also, of course, with those tones, you could add red to it and switch it out. You know,
platinum.
So that's platinum.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole idea with anything. How versatile can you be? And back to these snowballs, I mean, they all look great with all of that. And then, you know, with snowballs, I do want to mention, Tony, you realize that they start with snowflakes.
Really?
Mm.
So.
I got it.
With the snowflakes, those are fun, too.
Those are fun.
Those are fun. And a great way to decorate your home. It doesn't have to be all through your Christmas tree. It can be on your mantle. Or, again, you know, with a centerpiece. But there's some really great snowflakes out there. I don't know if you've used those in your trees and of different sizes.
We have. And, we'll hang them from the ceiling or from the display, from the front display windows. You can't beat the snowflakes. That's what it's all about. You know, you start seeing the snow, although I don't want to see it in January and February because I'm finished. But the snowflakes are an important component. I also like the big sugar cones. The pine cones. I love pine cones.
Well, you know, that was something I was going to mention. I've always have used pine cones just in my personal life. Mm-hmm. I've always enjoyed them, and you'd spray the little cinnamon oil and different things on those. So those really transition for the fall. For your Thanksgiving table and then going into Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are a great thing to do. Another thing, just now with how things are a little more rustic in style, you can take those pine cones, the larger ones, and you can tie more of a natural type ribbon on those, and you can hang those. And you can either hang them, I've seen them hung in windows before as like a little display. You would figure out how you would mm-hmm. do that, or right. on your Christmas tree, or even the pencil trees.
Mm. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have those pictures posted up on our Facebook page. Make sure you check it out. I love the one of the snowball garland and the big bells. So I did notice this the several times we've stopped out. Large decorations are very popular, or oversized, I should say.
Oversize is very popular.
Yeah, what's the story there? What is it, just because it draws more attention to it?
Well, you know, I mean, it even goes back to everyday decorating. A lot of people we design and decorate with a lot of larger pieces mm-hmm. rather than a lot of smaller ones. The day of collecting 50 Hummels kind of has passed. Because it is so much to take care of. I mean, it's different if it's an investment, but on an everyday event, if you want to dust and clean, it's easier with larger things, and your eyes kind of go towards those.
Uh-huh.
So with a Christmas tree or a table display, going back to the pine cones,
mm-hmm.
Anything that's a little larger kind of takes up more of that space, but yet it's nice to use the smaller things too.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the Christmas trees, I know we're talking a little early about all of that,
mm-hmm.
But we'll use larger, even ornaments, maybe even the size of like a volleyball.
Right. Right. Well, it's just a lot of homes, the scale of homes really comes into play here, because not all the homes, you know, have 8-foot ceilings.
So that's
true. When you're decorating a home that has a 10-foot ceiling, 12-foot, 14, or 16, scale comes into play big time, and that's when you start using bigger items.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you were saying, I mean, we sell 12-foot trees, 14-foot trees, and putting something on that tree that's small, it gets lost. So you need something of scale.
Exactly. And along with yourself, all your beautiful trees that you sell, Tony, you know, if you're doing some commercial work, which mm-hmm. we do some of that, and so some of the larger pieces just nestle in there very well. And back to the ribbon, all the wired ribbon.
Right.
And it's just so important. So if you want to get a head start on your holiday decorating, if you would like to put a tree up and decorate it for fall, and, you know, kind of gear that tree around more of a botanical look, and saying thanks and using the different little signs to say thanks about different things, because that's what Thanksgiving is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out and, you know, try something different, and then leave it up, and then switch it over when it becomes, you know, more about the holiday Christmas season.
And, you know, something too, I think getting ready for the season, my wife says this all the time. Half of the fun is preparing and getting ready. So a lot of times we think, oh, man, it's a lot of work. But in the long run, you'll enjoy it. It makes you feel better, and you have family and friends around. I can't think of a better way to just to have that festive feeling. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the time to do it, give us your contact information so you can go in and do a form, Karen.
Well, that's exactly right. We've already started putting people's holiday and Christmas trees
right.
up. So it's Sackstetter's Interiors. We have two locations. One's at the Brookville, Indiana exit, and New Trenton, Indiana, 11,000 square feet. It's just gorgeous. And then in the heart of Montgomery, and we have open house all this weekend, so come and see me.
Perfect.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Karen Sackstetter in with us. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, I'm going to ask about the holiday market. We'll be right back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And before we get to talking a little bit about holiday market coming up next week, we have Jane on the line from Dayton. She's got a question for you, Karen. Hi,
oh.
Jane.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
I've been listening to you guys all morning. I can't wait till Saturday mornings to listen to the show.
Well, thank you so much.
The pictures that you posted are beautiful, but Karen, I had a question about the pine cones. I saved mine all year. I put, pack them away with all the rest of the Christmas decorations, and I bring them out in the fall. How, I mean, they, do they have sprays and oils to get that smell back on them?
Yes, there is a spray. One of them is called Apples and Spice. Mm. I really don't know if I have any of that left, but it's just an oil, but it's in a little spray. It's not an aerosol. It's just in a little pump spray. And yeah, you put a little bit of that on there, and it really works well.
So you just drip it, or you just spray it on the cones?
You just spray it on the cones. So
and
with
do you
that,
bag them up and let them soak into there for a while, or...
You know, I mean, it's one of those things that, okay, like back in the day, they would sell pine cones that were already more like soaked in the oil.
Right.
Now, I haven't seen this in the marketplace as much, but I mean, you can do pretty much the same thing with what you said that you already have. What I would personally do is just spray a little bit on those cones, mm-hmm. and then you can do it twice a week. It's just a little spray.
Okay.
And
okay, because I've got lots and lots of pine cones. I buy more every year with the smell. We just found some over at Michael's.
Okay. And then the other thing that you can do, you know, I'm talking apples and spice, but you can always spray pine on them.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I sell a lot of pine spray where people like that smell to put on their Christmas tree.
Right. I'm going to have to visit you. I mean, I was looking at the pictures and everything, and
yep.
It's got some beautiful pictures on Facebook, and I really enjoyed the show. I love the red bells and the green bells, too.
Well, thank you. Well, make sure you stop and see us.
Okay, thank
okay.
you, guys.
Uh-huh.
Have a great day. Hey,
you
great
too.
Weekend.
You
bye-bye.
Too. By 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. Make sure you jump on our Facebook page. Got a lot of photos there. Got some stuff that Karen brought in. And I'm colorblind. Is one of the bells red and one of them green?
Yeah, one's red and one's green.
The big dinner bell's red.
Yes, yes, for sure. I mean, and those, you know, they're a great thing to do. I mean, with window boxes, even unless you have a mm-hmm. lot of heavy area of weather, but some people will end up using those in your window boxes. Window boxes are a great thing. I love all the gourds and pumpkins and all the natural
right.
pieces that are in them now. And Tony, you do a great job at window boxes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you do.
I'll do yours sometime.
Oh, I know. I mean, they're beautiful. They truly are. And,
thank you.
And figuring out, again, with the pine cones and different things, that could be a possibility.
Yeah,
also.
Those are just nice accent type of items. And, mm-hmm. and it doesn't always have to be plants or what have you, or bloom. It's other items that really enhance that look or that visual effect. And, you know, like these large bells. I mean, those look awesome in a tree. The colors are perfect on them, too. They're not too bright or too deep. And it has that weathered look, that natural look.
More of a natural
right,
look.
Right.
And yes, and then there's all the different size ornaments if you decide you would like to use those in your window boxes mm-hmm. or your nice planters on your front porch.
Right.
You just make sure that they're the plastic ones, and some are more designed for outside,
right.
and as long with the ribbon also.
What about picks? When I say picks, I'm talking about like floral arrangement types of picks. They could be poinsettias, various colors. Do you incorporate a lot of those into trees or designs when you're working on people's homes?
Well, you know, the picks are always a great thing. And what he's saying, it's a stem, and it mm-hmm. has a variety of the different pieces. And then your nosegay of that is your floral piece, whether if it's a magnolia or
right.
a poinsettia. And those are great to use. There's different lengths. Some might be 8 inches, 12 inches long, and different sizes. But they're a quick way to do it. And it's so those I've used for years. Another mm-hmm. thing, what we'll do with those is if you have some bookcases or different pieces like around on cocktail tables or end tables or a buffet, we'll take a larger piece of garland, and we might cut that 9-foot piece of garland in 1 foot each
right.
piece, and then add one of those nosegays with a nice ribbon and keep them all the same. And then that is such an easy way to decorate your great room, your study, the different things, because you can leave everything in place as far as your pieces in your bookcases and just add some color to that. So those are a great way to use those picks.
Berries too, a lot of the waterproof berries that you can use outdoors in wreaths and trees. Do you find yourself using a lot of those?
I love using all the different berries.
Oh,
and through
yeah.
the fall time, we had used a lot. Our stores have made a transition And I know it's a little early, but they've transitioned from fall. We have a little small fall section into the whole holiday because with our open houses, which I've been doing this for 28 years at Sac Setters Interiors, we have a lot of people who just love to come. Things have all changed throughout those 28 years. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, with all our customers who wanted to be the first ones there, a lot of people take pictures of our trees. Mm. You know, back in the day, we didn't take pictures like that.
Right.
You know, and so it's really interesting just to watch everyone walk through our stores. I'll say to them, well, why don't you just sit down for a little bit and just relax and chit chat? Because as you sit inside our stores, you see so much more rather than just walking past a tree. So I just welcome for people to come in, and it's not just a shopping experience. It's more of an experience with your friends and family.
Oh, it's a great experience. And you're absolutely right. You miss, when you walk around, you're not always honing in on what you're next mm-hmm. to. You're kind of looking out and ahead. But when you sit down, and that's the environment that you create, that homey, that home feeling, that when you sit down, that's how it should feel.
Exactly.
Relaxing, just takes you into the moment. It brings you into the season. I remember the time we were up there, Ernie. We sat for a while, and I would just, look around like, oh, I didn't notice that.
That's a great cool. detail.
Yeah, a lot of details.
There is a lot of details mm-hmm. to see.
A beautiful store. Your stores are beautiful. You incorporate all the furniture items with everything, and people can really get a representation of what it's going to look like, or a close representation at least, as to what to expect with coffee tables, end tables, all those other pieces that coordinate it.
Because with our interior decorating and design service, that's mm-hmm. my job, is to come into your home. Of course, you don't want near the things that I have in Sac Setters, but that's my job, is to share with you the right pieces, because you're going to cherish this for 10, 12, maybe 15 years.
Right.
And but it gives you a great idea, and I appreciate when you guys come out, and especially Ernie in his Santa outfit.
Oh, can I buy my map from you next week? Will you bring it in?
Oh, I
do.
With us
next week.
Yes,
yeah.
I will. I'll be here next week.
I'm still interested in it.
Okay, yeah.
I forget where that was. Uttermost Lighting?
Uttermost Lighting,
yeah,
yes.
That's a neat piece.
And speaking of next weekend, there's a big event coming up.
Oh, yes. It's like the biggest event here in Cincinnati, which really, though, we're the tri-state area, Kentucky and Indiana, and it's mm-hmm. called the Cincinnati Holiday Market. And I have been part of that for a long time now. I don't even know, 4 or 5 years. And the Heart Productions, they do an awesome job. It's at the Duke Energy Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And it starts next Friday morning, Saturday and Sunday. And so our booth is like, I don't even know, 10 by 30, 35, a couple different big trees. We have walls. We have pictures. We have some furniture. We have lamps, and we have lots of snowmen and some really good-looking Santas.
Cool. Not as good-looking as me.
But that's the Cincinnati Holiday Market.
Great. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Karen Sextetter from Sextetter Interiors with us. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have our friend Karen from Sextetter Interior with us. It's getting you ready. This weekend is her holiday open house.
Yes, it is. I hope someone comes and sees me today, and I'll be there smiling. We have two stores. One's at the Brookville, Indiana exit off of 74. It's 11,000 square feet. It's just plumb full of so many pretty things. And we're open today 10 to 5 and tomorrow 11 to 5. And over in Montgomery, the heart of Montgomery, right by Carlo and Johnny's, it's another nice large store, and it's just all so pretty, and it smells good, and it's just a family tradition. I mean, I love 28 years of all of this, and you're there, no different than your business, Tony. Mm-hmm. And these people come in, and, you know, you just love seeing them. I might not know their name, but I know their face. And it's been a wonderful thing it's my legacy of my life.
Isn't that the beauty of being a locally owned business? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you become friends with a lot of your customers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, not chummy, but, you know, you build those relationships over time, and you don't get that at the chain stores. I'm sorry, you just don't. And, you know, like Janet Willenborg and her mom, how they baked that Kushaw pie for us, Ernie. Mm-hmm. You know, that was such a treat, such a surprise. And those are the things that I cherish the most about, you know, having a locally owned business and establishing that rapport with customers. Just like you said, when they come in, you may not know everyone by name, but you recognize them.
Oh, you do. And You know, do you find, I'm sure, Tony, with your business, I mean, I'm being 28 years, my girlfriend Joyce was in yesterday, and how I know Joyce mm-hmm. is from her mother. Her mother now is passed, but her mother loves Saxdebtters.
Right.
If she was living, I would say she probably would be 85 years old. So then now her daughter still comes to our store, and then now her daughter. So I'm like on these three generations.
That's awesome.
And
that's,
it's an awesome
yeah,
thing.
It is.
You know, it truly is. And as you say, a small business, you know, we work very hard to make everyone happy and show all the beautiful displays. When I was a kid, I loved going downtown Cincinnati, and my grandmother would take me to Shillitoe's, and oh my goodness, I was so excited to go see all those reindeers and Santas and all those mechanical people were in their windows and that. I don't see that like I did when mm-hmm. I was a kid, and it was so fun.
Wasn't that the awesome experience?
Oh, gosh. You get on the bus, and away we go, and down there, and it was so exciting. You dress up, and so I don't see those things as much.
No, you don't, and that's what it was all about. And for me as a youngster, getting to ride the escalators, that was big stuff,
it
you know?
It was big,
And my dad would take us downtown, and I would get a gift from, you know, of course, My parents would pay for it.
Yes.
It would be a gift for my sister, for me. And then he would take my sister and, well, let's get Tony a gift, you know. And those are the cherished moments. And, you would go through the old Pogues building.
Oh, yeah. It was just Mabley and Crew. It was just all very beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, They're still very nice. I'm not saying they aren't.
Right.
But I think what's happened is with our local businesses like ours, Saxdebtters and Jackson Florist, so our job now is that tradition. And that is what I have found with my business is it's become a Christmas, holiday, Thanksgiving, fall tradition to come to our Saxdebtters interiors and just feel good.
Oh, that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
You know, there are people that have been into the store and, you know, like you said, you're the third generation.
It's quite interesting.
And I see that often, and people will say, you know, when we got married 45 years ago, we bought our first nativity set from here.
Yeah.
Or we still have that nativity set.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, speaking of nativity sets, do you sell any?
Yes, I'm one of the girls who works along with us, Nina.
Mm-hmm.
Her job this year is to be in charge of all my stuffed snowmen, stuffed Santas, and the Holy Families. She's in charge of making sure all of those are out and looking very pretty or fun. But the Holy Families, they are all very pretty.
Very nice.
And there's all different variety of sizes, colors. You know, we sell a lot of the, it's more of a white with a sparkle on it, but real soft, more mm-hmm. of a snowy.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
And it looks great. You know, and you don't have to have all the King's Men and the Shepherd Boy. We'll do a lot of with the family.
Is a single piece with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, or the three pieces.
Yes.
You can incorporate those into arrangements. You can do something really nice on the mantle or on the bureau or buffet, wherever you want to place it.
Yeah. And I think it's important if you, when I was a child, my grandmother, I would help her get her Christmas pieces out. And that was one of the things that she always had, you know, with mm-hmm. the little manger scene. And they had little pieces of straw stuck on the walls of it. I mean,
the stable, you know, the crib.
On the crib. And, you know, that's just something I remember. So, yeah, so that's another, you know, wonderful thing to give as a gift.
And now you can buy the cribs or the mangers, you know, that are lit up with lights and, you know, gives you that nice cozy look. And it's amazing how things have come along over the years.
Oh, it is. And we all have to stay on top of it. I mean, snowmen are snowmen. Santa is Santa. But they all come in different sizes and Santa's different colors. He's not always dressed in red.
And there's Father Christmas who isn't who normally is draped in green
mm-hmm.
and then shows up on Christmas Eve and brings the tree and the gifts all in one.
Oh.
That's an English tradition.
Okie doke.
Yeah.
All these different traditions.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now, what's your flair on nutcrackers? Do they kind of come and go in popularity?
You know, Saxdebtters, you know, 28 years here of all this beautiful Christmas, but I really can't say I've sold very many nutcrackers for families. I sell more penguins than nutcrackers.
Love interesting.
Yes. Do you guys like penguins?
Love them. Love the ones you have up there. That's cool.
I know. They're
and
so cute.
And how you took the little mirror and created yes. like a little lake or something.
Little ice skating rink.
Yeah, ice skating.
You know, I mean, I don't ice skate anymore. I haven't ice skated for quite a while. But, you know, that's something that people used to do all the time when you were in the country. And, but, you know, it's really cute to watch these penguins ice skate, but they really don't have skates. But they sure do look cute in the store with those skates sure. on.
Give us your contact information again real quick.
It's Saxtetters Interiors. Our open house is the next 3 weekends in November. We are at the Brookville, Indiana exit, I-74 West, and also in the heart of Montgomery, Saxtetters Interiors. Come see me.
So tell us, we're going to wrap this up again.
Sure.
Just refresh everybody's memory. Your open house is this weekend.
Yes, open house is this weekend. I'll be there today at 10 o'clock. I made some cookies, so come on out and see me. And it's just beautiful.
Then, and the two directions.
It is I-74 West at the Brookville, Indiana exit. I'm 25 minutes from downtown. And then also in the heart of Montgomery by Carlo and Johnny's.
And we've got a couple of pictures posted up on our Facebook page. Make sure that you visit them, too. She brought in some cool decorations. Touch on base on that again about the snowball.
Right. So we're going from leaves to snowballs. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and it's all going to be a wonderful time where we give thanks to our friends and family. And so after the leaves are gone, then we're going to bring in the snowballs. And it's all kind of fun. And then you can leave the snowballs out till like mid-February.
Nice. And the large bells, too. Larger decorations are always in vogue?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, and bells. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Everybody likes that song. And so with jingle bells, you can have little jingle bells. You can have big jingle bells. And so I just like bells. They just bring up, you're like, what's coming? What's coming? Something fun's coming.
Yeah. And so your open house is this weekend and another large event next weekend to get everybody geared up.
Yes. So then next weekend is the Cincinnati Holiday Market at the Duke Energy Convention Center. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's Heart Productions. It's a big deal. There's 300 different boutiques there showing all their different wonderful things for gifts and decorating for the holidays. And then, of course, Saxtetters. We're there. We have a 10 by 30 booth. And it's just plumb full.
And before we get out of here, Tony, your open house is coming up at Jackson?
On the 20th. Uh-huh. So in a couple more weeks, it's on the 20th on Sunday, and we'll have a 3-piece jazz band playing all your favorite Christmas songs.
Aww.
And Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus, Brother Halderman, mm-hmm. does a good job and bring the little ones in for a great photo op. And just a fun, full day of just a good time and festive activities and good refreshments and cookies and treats.
Memories.
Fantastic.
Memories.
Thank you. Yeah.
Memories.
Karen, always a pleasure having you come by and join us, and we're looking forward to having you come back next week.
Yes, I will be here.
Okay, and in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be back next week, too. Have a great weekend.